been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody. What is going on? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Play Music, and Satchel. It's a special time of year, everybody. It's a time to get together with friends, with family, and hate the Steelers all together as one big group. And this special show, this Purple Friday preview, ladies and gentlemen, I am bringing to you Gold, Frankincense, and Josh Murr. What's going on, man?
Oh, right on cue, man. Brandon, I'm so amped up. I didn't know where to start. First and foremost, I'm just coming off two nights in a row where I just saw two Ravens, and I'm excited leading up to this game, man.
That's right. You got to hang out with C.J. Mosley, and you got to see Justin Tucker. Tell us a little bit about that.
Dude, it was awesome. Mosley was great. It was a treat to hear him talk about, obviously, the Alabama culture. They're playing the national title next weekend, obviously, the last week of the race season for the Ravens. We'll get to that, obviously, more to come. It was great to hear about how we can stop Bell, how he anticipates. And just coming off the tip, he had the tip ball, the game winner against the Eagles to really put it away right at the goal line. So just fresh off of the victory, our hero, C.J. Mosley. And it was kind of cool. He already knew, obviously, being a player, but we had fans during the radio show he was at. Breaking news, he got voted to the Pro Bowl. Speaking of that, he was one of four. And then Tucker, obviously, I saw two Pro Bowlers back-to-back nights. How about a Kyle Juszczyk making it to the Pro Bowl as a fullback, and Marcy Yonder. So our four Pro Bowlers, obviously, we know the alternate Suggs. Weddle, I heard. Everybody thinks Weddle was a snub. Obviously, with players always bowing out, he'll probably have a chance to start. We know Ray Lewis himself is coaching the team, so it'll be cool and interesting to see if the Ravens end up playing in this game, which we really hope they don't, because that means they're in Super Bowl 51. But it was great to see, man, the energy Mosley had, you know, coming out, meeting the fans. I'm gotten to sign a picture, and then and I got to mingle with him for a bit, talk with him. And then the next night, obviously last night, I got to see Justin Tucker, man, our number nine. I waited in line, got to see him. Gave him a handshake and then a fist bump at the end. I told him at the end, man, I can't wait for Sunday. Let's get it going. I fist bumped him, and I actually got him to sign the picture. As we know, I was on a road trip a few years back. He got to sign the 61-yard field goal kick in Detroit, and I even had my ticket on the lanyard, and I showed him. I said, bro, I was there, and the guy sitting next to him, I don't know if it was like an associate of his or one of his, I don't know who it was, but apparently he was like, and you can hear a pin drop in that stadium. And I joked, I started laughing. I said, you could probably hear me saying, he heard it. So I was way up there. I told him it was an awesome experience, and he signed that picture. So basically, what it comes down to is after Steelers would actually fall to the Ravens this Sunday, on the back end of that, I have Mike Wallace next week.
Hey, you're all kinds of Ravens this holiday season. You know,
I'm holiday season is Ravens. Meeting Raven season, but man, it all comes down to this, man. You can tell I'm so fired up. I'm so passionate. I don't even know what I'm saying. Like at the time I was talking, I'm like, wait a second, that didn't sound right. So, guys, I'm excited as anything, but I'm more emotional, passionate. But I'm also excited, man. It's Christmas weekend. My brother's coming into town. It's Christmas weekend. The season. All of the blood, sweat, and tears. All the rooting. All the road trips. Me and you went on the road trip. Oh, my God, what is this team doing? Oh, great, they won, to being down 20 against the Browns, you know, beating the Jaguars to go 3-0 in crazy fashion, four-game losing streak, beating the Steelers in the first meeting, beating the Bengals, being 4-0 division, all comes down to this.
Absolutely, it does. So before we get into Ravens Steelers, though, let's talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl. Like you said, C.J. Mosley, Justin Tucker, Marshall Yanda, Kyle Juszczyk, those four guys are going to the Pro Bowl for the Ravens.
Yep.
I got to say, I'm a little surprised that Kyle Juszczyk and Marshall Yanda are going, even though Kyle's had a great season. You know, he wasn't really on the in the front of anybody's mind for the Ravens. And Marshall Yanda, he missed a lot of time this season. So to see him go again, I mean, it shows what he does, you know, when he is there. But it's still a little shocking just for the sheer fact that he's missed a few.
It is, man. And again, that was, I mean, I would say maybe the sheer fact that there's no talent in the fullback position.
Right.
He got it by default. But, no, he's still been a formidable weapon for us, man. How many times we hear Juszczyk in the game?
Well, look, what was it just at this past Eagles game? Or was it the game before where, you know, he got the ball and was able to take it down the field another, like, 10, 15 yards?
Yeah, it was definitely himself. And he's being utilized and he's flying under the radar, which is great, man. When I saw that name, it's just great because the Pro Bowl, it's not always about the stars like Beckham, Antonio Brown, and we all know what these guys bring to the game. You know, it's about these unsung heroes, man. These guys who you really need to get a hero of, and they're making a difference on their teams. And Juszczyk's been a great weapon back there. Obviously, we use them. And we're going to definitely talk about the game plan against Steelers. But speaking of use your players correctly, they use you correctly, man. I wish they more use them in, like, 3-1 situations because I don't know about you. When I'm a Madden enthusiast and I play Madden on the video games, ask my best friend. I could pull him on the show. He would definitely back me up 100,000%. Every time there's a short yardage situation, I know quarterbacks, they get, I tell him what I'm doing, and he can't stop it. I'm giving it to my fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Fullback dive. Here you go, right up the middle. Stop it. And no matter who it is, if I'm playing with the Ravens and it's Juszczyk or whoever I'm using, the fullback's getting the ball. So I think the Ravens should utilize that package more. But in the backfield, he's great with the passing game coming out of the backfield and the screen passes and the swing passes. So kudos to Kyle Juszczyk, man. Being voted to the Pro Bowl is definitely an honor among your peers.
Yeah, absolutely, and congrats to those four guys. You know, all four of them were very happy that they are Ravens and they're doing their thing, but let's get into it. Christmas Day. This Sunday, it's Ravens-Steelers. We circle this one every single year, and we get to do this twice a year, sometimes three, but this is definitely going to be a fun one, but here's what's going on. So we got the injury report, and we know who's practicing, who's not. Jimmy Smith hasn't practiced at all this week. The coaching staff is being very coy about whether or not he's going to play. But right now, I have to assume, sitting here, that we're not going to see Jimmy Smith on the field against the Steelers. Josh, what does that do to the Ravens' defense? Because, like we've said, every time Jimmy Smith is out, we turn to Cerise Wright. And even though he had a great performance last week, he's not always somebody you can count on.
You know, we've always discussed that, man. And 24, I mean, how many people have chimed in on the call's Facebook page? You asked me about 24. Even one of our great listeners, John Dugan, he actually texted me earlier this evening, was like, I'm scared. And I said, why are you scared, bro? And he's like, no, Jimmy, that's the main topic. It ain't the fact that we're going to Heinz Field in December with high stakes on the line. It's a fact. It's not – we're not and people aren't talking. I mean, it's the second topic, but people aren't talking about how we couldn't stop the Eagles' rushing attack. Now we've got to stop Le'Veon Bell on the road. People ain't talking about that. They're talking about, dude, Antonio Brown's got to face this defense in secondary without Jimmy Smith. That is the concern among our Raven peers, man. And it's been a talk of the town, and I'm very concerned about that, man, because – is 24 up for the challenge? He may very well be. I'm not certain. I really don't see it, but it remains to be seen. But the difference is Jimmy Smith played in the first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Smith's stats in the meeting, he obviously he had two total tackles back there, but the difference is he knows how to cover, and we kept Antonio Brown in check. If it wasn't for a garbage time touchdown, he would have had pretty much nothing all day. So that is the main concern. Cerise right back there. Tavon Young's a mismatch. I maybe draw powers plays on him and maybe man-to-man coverage. I don't know what might happen with the packages and the schemes we have on defense, but not having 22 and having 24 back there and not having Jimmy Smith and Wright respectively, it's going to be a big problem for us. and a big boost for a huge boost, for the Steelers passing attack, man, because it's going to be battles. It's going to be battles, won or lost, right then and there, man. It's going to be key, very key.
And, you know, this has always been a fun one to watch, but you got to remember the Ravens have won four straight games against Pittsburgh. And I believe they've won they've won six of the last seven matchups, two of those at Heinz Field, two straight at Heinz Field. So, I mean,
I was there for the last one and with bigger states. Wasn't there for last year's away game, but 2015, I was there for the playoff game when we beat them.
Yeah, and there's been, you know, last season Ryan Mallett came in. He was our starting quarterback at the time, and he was able to lead the offense to a win against the Steelers where they were still trying to get into the playoffs. But it was interesting. Ben Roethlisberger said on the conference call this week that the Ravens have had their number for the last couple years. What does that say about the Steelers and about their mindset, knowing right now they have something to prove against the Ravens, because the Ravens have kind of been dominant the last couple of years against the Steelers? For him to admit, yeah, they've got our number, is that something the Ravens should worry about, because maybe they'll be changing things up a little bit this time around?
Well, they've already said it. They said they're not going to be as conservative. Like even Tomlin even said, they're not going to be as conservative as they were. They're going to let it loose, and we got to be ready for it. And that's another key. Yeah, it's in the back of Steelers' minds, because they know they can't take us lightly. I don't care how bad we almost gave it up against the Eagles. None of that matters right now. I don't care if we were down 20 to the Browns. I don't care that we lost to the Jets. I really don't care at this point. Right now, we're one game behind with two games left. We got to win this Sunday to keep it going. If not, it's over. This is it. The season comes down to this. This is a playoff game. It's just almost like getting in the playoffs, and the 16 games we played before don't matter. It's one or done. Put up or shut up. So, yes, in the back end of Steelers' mind, really, and it's a fact, and I'm glad that the Steelers actually recognize that. I mean, the pros, they should. It's right there in front of them. You know, they haven't beat us pretty much in a long time. I can pretty much say that right now. I mean, I have to go way back to really dig for it. We've won two in a row at Heinz Field. The history, we've exercised those demons. We beat them there in the playoffs. It happened the same discussion against New England. New England was virtually unstoppable at home in the playoffs, virtually unbeatable. We went in there and kicked them around a few times. We've already won two postseason games in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. We have one in Pittsburgh. We've already gotten over that. So we understand the stakes. We understand the fans are going to be crazy. The stadium's going to be rocking. We don't care. The Ravens will show up to play. But what it brings here is, I'm going to tell you this right now, Brandon, and I'm going to put this out there. I might even put another video out this weekend, because I get frustrated, especially with this team when they come out lethargic. Last Monday, I felt great going into the game. They're going to be pumped. It's the Patriots. We got to have this game. They didn't get it done. How many times have we heard the word lethargic, lazy, they had no urgency? If they don't come out fast and furious on this game, first couple drives, this is going to be doom and gloom. Tennis right now. The Steelers already said they're going to mix it up and answer your point there. They're going to mix it up and come out with the intensity. They're going to come out with a mixed bag. Don't put it past Tom. I don't think their trick plays are up their sleeve, but Eli Rogers is a threat. Derek Tabor Bay is a threat. Antonio Brown's a threat. None of these guys, Bell and Ben's a threat. They had threats all over the place. We can't take this team lightly. We have to match them, you know, shot for shot. This is going to be a 12-round boxing match. We got to go toe-to-toe with each other. We already know what it's going to be. I've been seeing all week of the highlights of these games and what they come down to. We already know it's going to be physical. Someone might even get hurt. People might get knocked out. Who knows what might happen? We've already heard comparisons to the Ravens being the – Ravens Steelers rivalry compared to the Cold War. And everybody's like, well, how's that? Well, because basically, you know how it is. As soon as you hear the word Steelers or AFC North, I don't like them. We're trained as in our blood as Baltimore Ravens fans and from Baltimore and Ravens Nation around the world. As soon as you hear the word Steelers or Pittsburgh or those colors, you're trained not to like them. You're trained to hate them. You reserve respect. Obviously, not saying hate their fans or hate the people, but you're just trained to hate who they're about. You're just trained to hate your rival. And that's what we always preach about Steeler hate and all that. Obviously, it's Christmas week, and you know, we don't preach that about hating people and treating respect, obviously. And there's a big respect to the Steelers, because we always hate to hate Big Ben, man. You can't bring him down, but and even Sugg said there's a mutual respect there, but this is the team we love to hate and we loathe in. And the Ravens got a massive intensity. They got to come out quick. I mean, what have you seen? What have you seen from this team since the first Ravens Steelers game? They match the intensity there. Do you think they get it done? Do you think they match the intensity this time?
They're going to have to. And the thing that's key with this Ravens team, especially this year, they do this all the time, though, is that we've brought it up in the past that the Ravens can play down to their opponent or they can play up to their opponent. And yeah, they got to play in New England, but there's something about this Pittsburgh rivalry that the team themselves love. You know, yes, it's fun to watch it as a fan, but the team itself, when it's Pittsburgh Steelers time, They come in guns blazing, and they want to prove something. And you brought it up last week. You said that this is one of two games on Christmas Day. All the eyes are going to be on this game, and the Ravens know that. And I think they want to prove a point that they are the real deal and that the Steelers aren't better than the Ravens. So I think they're going to come out guns a-blazing. They're going to come out with plenty of intensity, and they're going to do what they have to do to take down Big Ben and the Steelers.
They're going to have to. I mean, there's nothing, no question about it. This team's got to match the fire and intensity they've always had with these rivalry games. Yeah, I think they were up for New England, but it didn't translate in the field. And that was the most frustrating part about watching that game a few Mondays ago. You're sitting there and you're like, all right, the game's still close. But it felt like you've seen the intensity with Brady on the sideline throwing equipment. And yeah, the Ravens fans are like, oh, crybaby this. But Steve Smith's done it, okay, in practice. And we've already covered that water under the bridge. Mike Wallace did it last Sunday. Had that big catch and run in the Harbaugh to see it, but he threw his equipment. He was fired up. We need this team to get fired up. You know, we don't need this time where if we're down three or down five and we're taking our time in the fourth quarter getting to the line, go no huddle the whole stupid game. I don't care. This is it. Season comes out of this. Go no huddle and go spread them wide. You got to stress the field. Throw them deep. Maybe send everybody deep, then throw a little dump off the pit and let them run 10, 15 yards. Throw it off the west or Dixon. We need to use our players correctly. I can't stress this enough. We need to call the packages, to let Joe show his arm. And again, this isn't the teams of old. This isn't 2008 Ravens. This isn't 2012 Ravens. This isn't the Ravens team I've seen where Flacco did lead his team 96 yards on the road and threw a touchdown pass to Torrey Smith to win it. We've been behind where we threw a touchdown pass to DJ Houston-Zada. It was the same quarterback. Different year, same quarterback. Different line, same quarterback. We can get it done. We need everybody on the field doing the jobs correctly. This is it. This is the team that needs to show up. It needs to come out saying, you know what, we're not scared and we're Ravens. And I even posted a video. Ray said, what makes a Raven a Raven? We need to match that. We need to get back to relentlessness, back to being organized chaos, not organized vanilla. I'm tired of it, man. How many times have you seen this year where, especially the Jets game we were at, teams just look vanilla and look predictable. If I can sit in stands and call the play before it's run, we need to change it up.
Absolutely. And what the Ravens have to do is they have to go in there as the Ravens flock. And we brought this up before, but a Ravens flock is called the unkindness. And that's what the Ravens have to do. They have to go into Pittsburgh and be the unkindness. But let's go back. Let's talk about the offense here. You already brought up Joe Flacco. I want to bring up Steve Smith, however. The guy did a press conference in an elf costume this week. So obviously
that was awesome.
He's into the festivities for the holidays. But he was a limited participant in practice due to a thigh issue. I don't think he's going to miss this game, but is this injury going to affect Steve Smith and his intensity at all this Sunday?
Not at all. No. Not at all. And I'll squash that right now. Remember when we were all concerned on Sunday when he was on the ground a little bit and rolling around, he got a sideline and the very next play, he called a bomb from Flack for a touchdown. The guy, you almost have to probably do what happened on him. You know, ruptures his Achilles, tear something to really get him off the field. He's fine. And I think this is just precautionary. I didn't monitor that this week. Nothing to be worried about. Obviously, the big worry is Jimmy Smith. Everybody else should be available. Should be, could be, will be.
What I also read, being a full participant in practice this time around, Alex Lewis. He's a big part of the offensive line, and when you're up against the Steelers defense, if we can have Alex Lewis back in the lineup, if we can have Marshall Yanda going, and we can have a sharp Ronnie Stanley, that gives Joe plenty of time to do his work and let wide receivers and tight ends get open.
But that's going to be the key matchup. I mean, we already know Jimmy Smith is on that doubtful tracking to not playing list. It just sucks because this has been on and off all year long, and we've seen him in. Yeah, he's not the all-pro, but he's solid and very solid play proves. Alex Lewis on the line, very excited to hear that because here's what's going to happen. We've heard shuffle all week. Does Yanda go to the left side with Stanley to block? Does Yanda go the opposite side? Because the matchup here is Stanley against Harrison. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a great game last time. He looks for the redemption, yet Flacco tend to stay upright. They hurried a little bit back on November 6th when we played him, but he didn't really feel the pressure, and he had a great game. I'm actually right now diving into stats on this one and showing the box score. I mean, Flacco was 18 for 30, 241 with one touchdown, one pick, 82.8 rating. He basically averaged 8 yards a pass, but efficient. This is the game where Joe Flacco's got to just be solid with the football, and that's where the line's going to happen. The pocket awareness has to be there. Alex Lewis healthy in playing this game. Everybody hands on deck. If we're without 22 and that's the only play we are, let's so be it. Let's get out there and prove them. But Yanda already had a few days off this week. It's going to be tough, Brandon, without Jimmy, man. A lot of fans are like, well, I'm scared or I'm concerned or I don't know. Let's get it done. Treese Wright had an okay game against the passing attack of the Eagles. Obviously, there's no Steelers attack. It's not Big Ben, but I'm okay with it. We got to move forward with it. It is what it is. We can't worry about it. Let's just put our best foot forward on this one and play. We got to play with intensity. Maybe they find adrenaline deep down within and help them with their play this Sunday, man, because this is it. The whole Jimmy Smith enigma this year, man, it's just been a mystery, man, because it's just on and off again. And you just got to hope he gets help. But who knows? I don't know how serious it is, but that may be, hey, maybe we just get through these two games, win, shut him down, and maybe be back for the playoffs. But we got to bring it. And Sharice Wright's got to bring his A game, man. It's been up and down all year. He's got to bring it.
Let's just talk about Jimmy Smith here for a second. Dude's got a lot of talent. Not taking anything away from him there. He is one of the best in the league at what he does. However, do you think it's a good idea that the Ravens invest in him long term? Because it seems as if he has a hard time staying healthy. His position, you know, is a lot of pressure on his legs, and he's gotten injured in the past couple seasons, came back from injury, still wasn't 100%. Now he's back again. He had a back injury earlier this season. Now he's got an ankle injury. Can the Ravens count on Jimmy Smith long term?
Great, great point. I think they can. Obviously, this hasn't been a season ending or suffered like Webb has, or it hasn't been any major like an Achilles like Suggs has had. Suggs is obviously playing with the bicep. If the Achilles took Steve Smith out, they can invest in the long term. I think if they can get through this season, no matter what the outcome, how long we have it, whether it's a shortened season, which we hope not, if it's a prolonged season in the postseason, see if we can get him back. But I think he rehabs and comes back. I think they can. Contract-wise, it's going to be a little bit different, obviously, going into the offseason on how we want to handle that. Let that play out in the offseason as we get closer to that. Obviously, in season's hard to determine. But, yes, I think in the long run, the Ravens do, and they, I wouldn't think they have any choice unless they get an all-pro secondary defensive back or anything like that out of the draft in the next year or two. They have no choice in investing in Jimmy long-term because who else is there? Who else is there to step up? And I think they got to. No choice.
I mean, maybe in a couple years, if Tavon Young continues to develop, this is just his rookie season and he's looked great. Mm-hmm. But if he continues to develop, he could give Jimmy Smith a run for his money down the road. We don't know yet.
But what about his undersized? Didn't he undersized? That was the problem this week in the matchup.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
He's overwhelmingly undersized as a corner. It's great play. He's actually, and C.J. Mosley said that when I met with him on Tuesday. He actually was asked, who do you think the unsung MVP is or the under MVP is? He actually brought up Tavon Young because of his play. So his fellow brother on the defense, Mosley, put him up there. So I think Tavon Young can make a case for himself, but he's got to be physical. He's always been this week. This past week he showed it. He made some great plays on Sunday. Gerard Powers will be back there. Eric Weddle, we know, bring it. Eric Weddle brings that physicality to the secondary and the defense. And you got to hold your lane. I think it's going to be great, man. You know, we already know Suggs owns Big Ben, sacked the most, and basically against the defensive end linebacker. Suggs has sacked Big Ben the most. Obviously, we already know he owns him. Another great matchup indeed. It's really going to come to that. Can we get to Ben? And can we? There's a lot of nuances in this game. Stopping Bell, stopping Brown. Can we get to Ben? Can we stop the big play? Can we keep it close? Can we match in intensity? Man, there's all kinds of stuff. And my buddy Kenny, I'm going to give him a shout-out, man. He actually Facebooked me. I asked him to tune in, man, because he wanted to ask me this. He said, bro, can we get it done, man? Do we have what it takes to get it done? I'm going to answer this right now. Absolutely. This team isn't scared. And exercise that, we beat them in the playoffs. No one gave us a chance. We beat them with a 5-11 squad. We beat them with Ryan Mallett, okay? We beat them when we were 5-11. We beat them any way we can. We beat them this year. 6 out of the last 7, and Big Ben knows it, and he said it. You know, the Ravens have owned them late. So I'm going to say I go with history. And just the nostalgic state. We already know it's going to be physical. I think the Ravens can match physical. I'm going to ask you this. Which, so far in the last, let's measure it, the last 10 years or so, going back to the mid-2000s, what has your been, I want to put this out to you, Brandon, what has been your favorite moment in this rivalry? Do you pick out a game, a moment in the game? What has been your go-to game moment?
God, my go-to moment. I got to say my favorite moment is the one that you talked about earlier when Torrey Smith, he got a long ball from Joe Flacco and he missed. He didn't catch the ball in the end zone. It looked like the game was pretty much over. You know, Steeler fans were leaving the stadium because it was in Heinz Field. And then he comes back to the huddle, tells Joe, look, give me the ball. Give me the ball again. Just throw it back to me. Joe throws the balls. Torrey Smith wins the game. I forget who it was, but it might have been Matt Burke, but picked Joe Flacco up off the ground, and Joe Flacco's like body surfing, you know, pumping his fist after that, and the Ravens were able to come out with a win. I think that was
he has no passion.
It was no passion there at all. I think that was the first win Joe had against Big Ben and the Steelers. So that's the one that always comes back to my mind. Another one, I mean, not just one moment, but Hines Ward and Ed Reed always matching up. That was always something fun to watch with those two.
Very classic games, man. Very classic moments. I think one of my favorite moments, and because I think I was present for it, was the 2015 playoffs at the end of the 2014 season. The Steelers had the AFC North crown. We went in as a wild card, and we beat them. Mm-hmm. I was there for it. It was Palma. I was there game as a pro. Division champs didn't matter. We went in there and beat them soundly 30-17. It was great. I was there for it. Couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the stadium emptying, and we did it. Obviously, I went on to New England and watched us lose two touchdown leads in the game we were in and how that turned out. Very heartbreaking, very disappointing, because I feel like we should have that one back 2 years later. Another game of the night. It didn't end well. Obviously, forced me to know, but it was Flacco's, Rice's, and Harbaugh's rookie year 2008. We're all started. Went 11-5. We went marched all the way to Heinz Field, the AFC title game with the Super Bowl berth on the line, and Flacco's rookie year 16-14. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it because I thought that was it. Driving with 4 minutes and I think 4.5 left in the game. Flacco throws a crucial, crucial back-breaking season-ending pick 6 to Polamalu. Game over. That game, and I bring that up obviously not for the loss, and because it set off part obviously all the playoff trips, all the title games to get to the Super Bowl win in 2012, but because how physical that game was. How many big hits did I remember in that game? And the ultimate one was when McGahee and Ryan Clark collided. You remember that one?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, who can forget that? I still feel it, and I wasn't even involved. But that game, I was just watching highlights this week, getting prepared for this brutal, brutal Cold War. The hits, man, crazy. Just it was old slobber knocker, and this is why I love the AC North. This is why I love that we went back to grass. This is going to be physical. Somebody probably will get hurt tomorrow. I hope not, but it usually happens. Medical staff's ready because this is – you better put the kids to bed because Christmas might come early on Sunday morning and happen presents, but this is it. I mean, I don't – like even Tomlin was quoted, this, the AFC North title on the line, if you don't get up for that, you're a dead man. I mean, Mike Tomlin, you know, I respect that guy, man. Mike Tomlin's awesome. I've always loved him as a ball coach. Obviously, you know, he's done some great things even in the Baltimore area with some locals. But when it comes to Ravens Steelers, he gets his team prepared, and Harbaugh does the same. There's really nothing to be said. This holds its weight. I don't know how bad enough I got to stress to everybody out there. Root hard. Whoever's going to the game, root hard. I tell you that. Root hard. Have the best Christmas possible out there in Pittsburgh. I've already heard BMO Roundtown Strip sold out. They sold their bus out. They're going out to Pittsburgh on Christmas Day. I really hope they have a safe drive there and bring a victory back in the bus, because I remember how rocking that bus was when we took it to Pittsburgh and won. Dude, the whole bus was rocking. We had a red light and the bus was rocking. When it's axles, it's nuts, man. It's awesome. And I really – and you know how intense it's going to be. And I can't stress enough, and you can hear it in my voice and my passion. I passionate it all year long, 365, 24/7 to this team. But this week, I just been so really emotional. Like, I get excited. I almost get quiet because it's just like I don't even know what to say. I get so excited. It's going to come out. You're going to see it, man. You know, and you're going to see it, and I really can't wait to root hard and watch this team and really just let it all out, man. And this just brings it all out, man. When we were up 21-0, didn't you feel good that last game, man? Didn't you feel good when we were up 21-0?
Yeah, I did.
And I'm not too concerned about that, because they did score garbage time touchdowns. I'm concerned that we let off the gas, and that's – you got to just put them down. Put them out of their misery, man. You got them bloody, beaten, and bruised in your home turf, 21-0. At the end of the third quarter, I believe it, when it was like he said Baltimore Ravens something and Pittsburgh Steelers nothing, everybody's chanting nothing, and we were just high-fiving. I'm like, dude, we just shut this team out for three stinking quarters. This is epic. And that's why we're not afraid of them. And everybody keeps talking, torn meniscus this, torn meniscus that. Big Ben wasn't as healthy. Everybody's concerned, too, because Ben's the healthiest he's been. I don't care. Bell's the healthiest he's been, and we shut him down in week whatever. I don't care what. I don't care. He had 4 weeks to prepare. He came back. He's been formidable. He came off a career year, a few weeks back. We're going to hold him in check. That's another thing. The running game, to really bring everything home here, the run defense is where it's at. Everybody keeps talking the whole Jimmy Smith, is he in or not? Can we match the intensity? But another big key to this game for us to really pull this out is to learn from our mistakes against Philadelphia. And I don't know why we let Ryan Matthews run amok on us, but that shenanigans got to stop right now. Le'Veon Bell will do far worse than what he did. I don't even remember what team it was. Was it Buffalo? I think it was Buffalo, where he just he basically just did whatever he wanted. And that's a huge key to the game, man, because they really got to – they got to have that concern under wraps, because it's going to be a long afternoon and we're going to be disappointed.
I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want a lump of coal in my stocking after this game is over. I want happy feelings. I want the end of Home Alone. That's what I want instead of coal.
Oh, the Christmas Day, the family coming home and snowing, and Kevin, what did you do to my room? But I tell you what, hopefully we do that to Pittsburgh on Sunday. Tell you that.
And the biggest thing I can say is I hope Mike Tomlin stays off the field this time.
Oh,
we know how we know how much he likes to jump on the field during holiday games.
Oh, I was I was there for that one. I was a little perturbed. We all knew, and he snickered, and we all knew what it was, and Jacoby got to eat his turkey legs after it because we won. Great. I mean, we've had some great holiday battles, especially who can forget the Thanksgiving night. But we had two great Thanksgiving games. We had the one against the 49ers, and it was 16-6, and Suggs had like six sacks that game. It was nuts. And then we had a classic one the year after in Pittsburgh, which was even better. This game, it just doesn't really need any advertisement. It's pretty much this. AC Norris on the line on Christmas Day, Christmas evening. They get better than that. I mean, the league knew what they were doing when they scheduled one of two games on Sunday and the rest of them on Saturday, and they knew, hey, we're going to put the Ravens Steelers first because we want to get people fired up and ready for this one. Obviously, late games, Chargers and – or not Chargers, it's Chiefs and Broncos. But, like, it really doesn't even care about that. The best game of the week, the best game of the year is right now. It's Sunday at 4:30. Can't wait to get going, man. And another key I wanted to bring up, too, is getting away from the running attack, too. But how about this? How about the playmakers?
Remember how Mike Wallace got involved and got the 95-yard touchdown against Pittsburgh and how sweet it was doing against his former team? What about Steve Smith catching the long touchdown? It was a beautiful ball thrown by Flacco this Sunday in Eagles. What about the big plays, man? What about those?
We need guys, unsung heroes of this team, to really show up. Rashad Perryman, he's got to catch that long ball. You know, he had that Torrey Smith moment, Joe and Torrey back in the day, like I brought up, against the Steelers. We need that on Sunday against the Steelers. We need Rashad to do the exact same thing, catch that ball in the end zone, win the whole day. Everybody needs to be at their top of their game. Ronnie Stanley's got to prove why he was the sixth guy in the draft to get picked by the Ravens.
Good point.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, this has to be a 100% game. Everybody's got to do their best, you know, and make every Steeler player's life even harder. We need Kamar Aiken to do. He got his first touchdown last week. We need him to get another one. We need him to get the field moving. We need to move those chains with him. We need Nick Boyle to do what he's doing. He hurdles guys. We need him to continue to do that. We need Pitta to get two touchdowns. Everybody's got to be on point, and that's the only way you beat this team. Like you brought up, the Steelers are healthy. They're 100% healthy. They had six guys miss practice, but they weren't really any playmakers. The Ravens have to come in. This is their Super Bowl until the actual Super Bowl.
You couldn't say any better yourself, man. And one thing I really want to really hone in on that too, it's Super Bowl mentality. It's Super Bowl goals, but the stakes can't get any higher. And the Ravens, Monday night got away from us. A few games this year got away from us, but none of that matters. And my fear, if any, I mean, I'm confident because of the recent history. We beat them already this year with virtually the same team. I mean, it is the same team, barring a few here or there. But I almost want to go back to the box score and really see who didn't play. I know Jimmy Smith played, but it's like I really can't remember if Alex Lewis played in that game, if he really didn't. I really want to see who's in and who's out and really compare notes there, because the same thing that kept them in check, and I don't mind buying Big Ben's injury. I don't care if he's healthier now than he was back then. Obviously, it is true. The weeks went by. But and he got an opportunity to get healthier, but he still led his team, almost led him back, and it was a little scary. And then obviously went for an Irish jig, screwed up onside kick, which we all made fun of him at. it was sealed the deal. But they could easily recover that and got the ball back and easily could have tied it up or could have won it with 2 points. They always love going for two. And that's another thing is another great point I want to hone in on that too is remember how when the Cowboys game, the Steelers went 0-for-4 and 2-point conversions that left 8 points on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they ultimately lose by less than a touchdown?
Yeah.
There it is. So that could be an Achilles heel for the Steelers. Yet they've already said they want to be aggressive. They don't want to be conservative against the Ravens, but their aggressiveness cost them the game against the Cowboys. Everybody forgets that. I was sitting there, and my cousin's a Cowboys fan. I was watching with him, and I was like, do you realize every time they go on for two and miss it, they're getting greedy and their greed's gotten the best of them? And the old adage, pride goes before destruction. They got a little too proud of themselves and got a little cocky and said, you know what? See, after three times, see, Harbaugh's taking on the chin this year, too. So let's not get it twisted. Let's not go there and say, well, the Ravens ain't out of that sandbox. They're pretty much playing in the same sandbox they did. Because Harbaugh did the same thing and got greedy and did a stupid fake field goal across his Redskins game. He got greedy and didn't kick a field goal against the Raiders across his game, got greedy. I wouldn't say a field goal, but a penalty that brought him back. And then instead of letting him kick the field goal, they went for it and got the conversion and all be all. But the defense got to make plays. Harbaugh made a decision to put his best team in the best position. But say the defense let it up, so it's a team effort. It's not just the coach's fault. We've already covered that. But I really want to point it out there, too, that the Steelers, they might say they don't want to be conservative, but their aggressiveness has gotten the best of them. And so is the Ravens. So they better make the correct calls when the game's online. What are you going to do? You got 30 seconds to decide. Are we going for it, coach, on fourth and one on midfield? Are we going to let Tucker kick a 52-yarder in hostile territory? Are we going to punt it and play field position in the fourth quarter? What are we going to do? Those are going to decide the factors, not the run defense, not the pass defense with right back there and Jimmy Knott. It's the decisions. You make good decisions, you're going to win this football game. This game's a chess match. This is good. This is a war of wars. This is Ravens Steelers. AFC North Championship on the line. Ravens win, they go into play for a 1 week playoff to get into playoffs against the Bengals, who are going to have an AJ Greenback. So we already got our hands full. Ain't going to be as easy. This is going to be a mountain. we can go 6-0 in the division and be division champs in a home playoff game. Now, I'm not getting people overhyped, but do you know who our opponent might be in that first playoff game?
Who's that?
Yours truly, who we're playing this weekend.
Ooh.
If it all plays out, the Steelers could drop the 6th seed. The Ravens would get the 3rd seed if they went out and get the AFC North crown to themselves in a home playoff game. It could very well be a Ravens-Steelers 3 back here in Baltimore. Let's not get too excited at that, but that is a likely scenario to keep in the back pocket. But we got to get there Sunday. You know, you can sit there and play the scenarios we already know. You win 2 games, they're in. Simple. We control our destiny. We screw up, we're done. We can't rely on, oh, but if we win the Steelers and then, or if we beat the Steelers and then somebody else loses. No, it's it. We win, we're on. We're on the 1-week playoff game again against Cincinnati next weekend, New Year's weekend. Let's have a good time about it. But if we lose this game, we're going to sit there and pick apart what should have, could have, would have, should have done this. Oh, it's the offseason because this is over. The Ravens, yeah, not covering the scenarios. They can essentially lose this and have a glimmer of hope to back into the postseason to succeed and go on the road for it all. But I'm not getting to that. Let's just make it easier on ourselves and let's just win a stinking football game, for goodness sake, man. Let's just win. I can't play much player than that. Let's just win this game. How's that?
I like your line of thinking there. All right, Josh. Have we covered everything?
Ravens Steelers Hate Week Part 2 of 2016 up in Heinz Field. Let me ask the Raven. Hey, Raven. Did we cover this one? Did we cover this war? Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Follow us as well. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. We're always posting up cool videos and photos, whatever we got going on. You can check out Josh and CJ Mosley there. You can check out our Facebook Live videos as well. Of course, we do the game day previews. Anything that we find out, we let you guys know as quickly as possible. All right, so we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. If you are sitting down with some family, you're eating a turkey or maybe some ham or something over Christmas dinner, let people know about us. Tell everybody that the call gets you ready every single week. Spread the word. Let people know it's free. The show is free. You get to enjoy some Ravens podcast completely for free. How cool is that? So do that online as well. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Let people know I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. So that's pretty much it for this Purple Friday preview. Everybody have a very safe and happy holiday coming up. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever you celebrate, enjoy your holidays. This is the best time of year. I absolutely love this time of year. And you got two gifts. You got your favorite holiday and you got Ravens Steelers this weekend. So everybody be safe, be happy, be kind to each other. If you don't know how to wrap, just put stuff in a bag with some tissue. That's what I do. That's my little tip.
Yeah, bags are always easier.
That's right. All right. So that's pretty much it. I'm so bad. I give up halfway through and it just looks bad. All right. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, and this is it, guys. This is it. Ravens, Steelers, Part 2, 2016, to decide the division, decide a Ravens' fate. Win and move on. We already know it's pretty much do or die at this point. We can't really preach it enough. We can't stress it enough. We can talk about it a lot, but here it is in front of us. Christmas Day. When we took this on the schedule way back in April, we knew we're going to see these guys in December in Heinz Field and go, this is going to be some heavyweight game right here. This is going to be a heavyweight championship. It is. It's AFC North crown on the line. Simple. Steelers win. They're division champs. We got to watch them celebrate right in front of us and go, what a shoulda, coulda, and sit here and cry and complain and kick the walls and wonder why? Why couldn't we win one or two games to be there? we win, Steelers going to go, what just happened? We used to be the owning of the Ravens. Now, the tide's turned. Now, they're going to be worried because we go to Cincinnati to play for the right to earn the division champ. It's going to be it. This is on the upper echelon of Ali, Frazier. This is the WrestleManias we've seen in our heyday where the championships are on the line and they put it all on the line to go at it. We've seen it. For the sake of entertainment, we've seen it. And this is it, guys. I can't stress enough. And I've been watching my pump-up movies, my pump-up quotes. I can sit there and fill another half hour of the show with all the famous quotes and Ray Lewis getting involved in the quotes from the movies I watch. But I'm telling you, one of the best ones is from one of my favorite two movies here, 300 Rise of the Empire, is the character Artemis is saying in the second installment, for glory's sake, for vengeance sake, war. I'm telling you, it's going to be a flat-out war. You better get ready. War, 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 quoth the Raven, nevermore. Baltimore, ready? We're about to fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.